The Torah in last week's parsha, after the Marvel, speaks about the covenant, the bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes between him and Noah and his children and ultimately their descendants. Vayomer Elokim Zoso Sabris Asher Ani Nosein Beini Uveinechem Uvein Kol Nefesh Chaya Asher Etchem L'Doros Olam, for all generations. The Ramban there notes the difficulty in terms of the way we read the Torah initially, the presentation, that God creates the rainbow in order for it to serve as a sign or kivayachol, a reminder to God of the covenant. The Ramban points out that the simple reading of the Pasuk is that the keshes did not exist before the Mabul, and now God created the keshes in the heavens, in the cloud. And he explained, the explanation is supposed to be is that the arrows, if a keshes is the bow, and you would put arrows, it's pointing up, it's not pointing at us, meaning God is not threatening us. But the Ramban notes then that Al Karchenu Namin Ladibra Hayavonim Shemilah Hashemesh Bavir Halach Yiyah Keshes Tetolodah. The Ramban says we have no choice but to accept that which the Greeks tell us, that the rainbow is a natural phenomenon, the result of the sun's light being refracted through the moisture in the clouds, because ki bekli mayim lefnei hashemesh yira'e temarei hakeshes. When you put a glass of water in front of the sun, you will see the rainbow. So obviously, it's a naturally occurring phenomenon. Now, given that the rainbow is a naturally occurring phenomenon, so then we have to explain why does God choose this of all the things in creation to symbolize the covenant? How does it remind God of the covenant? The Ramban goes on to offer his own explanation about there may be some mystical element to this. But the Pshat, he says, is whenever you make a covenant, you have some physical symbol as a reminder. But what is the relevance of the keshes? So Rashi, on this pasuk, on the Doros Olam, quotes the Medrash from Bereishis Rabbah. But he presents it with his own formulation. The Medrash notes that the word L'doros is written without either vav. There should be two vavs there. And therefore, the Medrash says there were two generations in which the keshes wasn't necessary. The Medrash has a machlokus who they were. One is Doros Shachis. The way Rashi quotes it, one is Doros Shachis Ki Al-Mela, and the other is Doros Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rashi says, and this is not in the Medrash misformulation, they were perfectly righteous people. They were tzaddikim gemur. So there was no necessity for a keshes. So tell me, if it was a generation where they were tzaddikim, but they weren't tzaddikim gemurim, so then God needs a keshes? What's going on? Let me ask a different question. What is it that Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had in common? The Gemara in Chelek says that V'chu Bal Ol Mipnei Shaman, God speaks about the downfall of Assyria. It's in Yeshaya. The downfall of Assyria, V'chu Bal Ol Mipnei Shaman, which means literally the yoke will be broken because of fat or oil. The Gemara, probably oil. The Gemara says that Chubal Olo Shel Sanherib Neisham No Shel Chizkiya, that the yoke of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, would be broken because of the oil of Chizkiya Sheyadolek Bebatei Knesiyah Sebatei Medrashas. That was lit in the shuls and in the yeshivas that people were studying. Ma'asa Noatz Cherib Al Pesach Beis HaMedrash Va'omar Ko Mi She'Omer Osek B'Torah Yidoker B'Cherib Zeh. There was no tolerance. There was no grayness, nothing. This is black and white. You're going to do it. Otherwise, you'll get thrust through. And the result was Badku Midan Ve'ad Be'er-Sheva V'lo Matzu Am Ha'aretz Migabas Van Atiparas. There wasn't a single ignoramus, not one Am Ha'aretz in all of Eretz Yisrael. V'lo Matzu Tinok V'Tinokesh Ish Ha'isha Shelo Hayu Bekiyam Mehuchos Kol Mavid Har. They were tzaddikim gemurim. And God save anybody who wasn't. And what's the story of Shimon Bar Yochai? So he spent a long time in the cave, 12 years. And then the Zera was Nisbata. The question is, who would go tell him he can come out of his cave? And the Gemara in Shabbos, the Bama Mavikin tells us, Asa Eliyahu. Eliyahu was the one. Vikama Pisca de Marata. And he comes to the opening of the cave and he says, Bar Yochai, who's going to tell him that the Caesar has died in the Xeris Baka? Eliyahu told him. So they came out, and they come out, and what do they see? They see a person, they see people who are busy plowing their fields. They're not sitting and learning Torah, they're plowing their fields. Omar, he said, Manichi Chai Olam Ba'ostim Chai Shah. They're abandoning eternal pursuits of spirituality, engaged in the physical. Wherever they would look, it would burn up. You came out to destroy my world? Go back in your cave. They went back in. They spent another 12 years. Another 12 months. They said Mishkat Rishayim Megehenna is 12 months. It's enough. They went out again. After Abascal said, go. Everywhere where his son Rabbi Elazar would look and damage, Rabbi Shimon would look and heal. Kol heichad havamasi Rabbi Elazar, havamasi Rabbi Shimon. Omar lo bini, dayin la'olam ani va'ata. It's enough that you and I, we'll do this. I believe in this Gemara also there's a statement that what really appeased them was they saw somebody running Erev Shabbos. It was a guy who worked all week, and he was carrying two roses, two hadassim. And they asked him why, and he said, one for Zacha, one for Shaman. And they were the spies. So what is the characteristic, fundamentally, of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Chizkiyah? It's a lack of tolerance for gray, for people in between. You're all this, or you're all that. And that kind of thing, on the whole, as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was told by the Baskol, is what destroys the world. Everything is pure white, or it's nothing. What the Keshas reminds us is that white light is actually made up of many different colors, many different shades. It is very rare in this world that there's an individual who's completely a Rasha or completely a Tzaddik. If the lens through which we see the world is that everybody has to be put in one box or the other, we are doomed. The lens of only white light, of not seeing a rainbow, forces us to put all those who differ from us, be it based upon religion, race, political affiliation, or some other criteria, they have to be put into one of two boxes. Good or bad, you're on my team, or you're on the other team. That approach, which approximates the Midas HaDin with which the world was almost created, is what destroys the world. The first story of creation, Bereishis Perek Aleph, is Bereishis Bara Elokim. As Rashi explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought to create the world with the Midas HaDin. You're either here or you're not here. But he saw that the world couldn't exist. And therefore, the next perek is B'yom Asos Hashem Elokim Eretz Hashemayim. You need the Midas HaRachamim mixed in with the Midas HaDin. There's also a Targumic tradition on Lo Yodom Ruchi a very difficult pasuk, that God would destroy this generation, but never again. Again, it sounds as if, with the Dor HaMabul, God decided that he was acting on Midas HaDin, and you were either good or you were bad. The good survived, and the bad, all were gone. But God promised he would never repeat that judgment on humanity. And that's what the Keshis is. The world is not divided between pure white and its absence. Individual humans' moral behavior inevitably falls out on the spectrum, not black or white. In effect, the Keshes is a reminder that the Ribbono Shel'olam cannot hold us to an absolute standard of Midas HaDin, or the world cannot survive. And the same goes for us. If we see all other people as falling into one of two boxes, we will destroy the world. Someone with other views that might be correct, they might be correct sometimes, they might have complicated motivations, it doesn't mean that we don't push for what we think is right, But as we do so, we must recognize the humanity and even the elements of goodness in others, and be open to the possibility that sometimes they might have something to teach us and they might be right in some aspects. People are generally not all good or all bad. There is a powerful medrash in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. After Avraham Avinu chased Ishmael and Hagar away at Sarah's behest, so it tells us that after Ishmael was saved, after they found the water, that Ishmael went and took a wife from Arvos Moab. Her name was Ephah. After 3 years, Avram went to visit Ishmael. But he swore to Sarah he wouldn't get off his camel. He would stay on the camel during his visit. He reached Ishmael's house in the middle of the day, and he found there his wife. He said to her, "Where is Ishmael?" She said he went with his mother to bring dates from the desert. He said to her, "Do you have a little bit of bread and a little bit of water for me because I'm tired from this journey?" She said, "We have no bread and water." He said to her, "When Ishmael comes, tell him what happened and tell him that, tell him the following. An old man came to see you from Eretz Canaan, and he said that the threshold on the house doesn't look good." When Ishmael came home, he told her, his wife told him this. He divorced her, and then his wife, he and his mother arranged for a new shidduch with Fatima. Another 3 years pass, and Avram comes back to see Ishmael. And he swore to Sarah he wouldn't get off the camel whenever he gets there. He reaches there in the middle of the day. He sees this wife, the new wife, and says, "Where's Ishmael?" She said, "He and his mother went to graze the camels in the desert." He said, "Do you have some little bit of bread, a little bit of water for me? I'm tired. It's a long journey." And she brought him bread and water. Avram stood there and davened before HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Ishmael. And the house of Ishmael was filled with all good. And when Ishmael returned, his wife told him the story. And Ishmael understood that this is how far the mercy of a father is for a child. Shenemar kerachem avavane. But that's not the end of the story. When Sarah died, Avram went back and he took back his grusha. He remarried Hagar because Hagar is keturah. We would presume that Hagar and Ishmael were so evil and Sarah wanted them sent away. But that's not the way Avram Avinu saw it. He had no choice because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him Shema Bekola. But it's not that he didn't see anything redeeming in Sarah and Ishmael. He never forgot Ishmael. In Hagar and Ishmael. He never forgot Ishmael, and he didn't forget Hagar either. There was a very famous nitziv in the introduction to Sefer Bereishis, his commentary on the Hamed Dabar. He says, why is Bereishis called the Sefer Hayasha? Bilam says, Hamos nafshi mos yisharim usiyach usikamo. The yisharim were Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's why Bereishis is referred to as the Sefer Hayasha, Alohich Tzuva al Sefer Hayasha. Why? So the Nitziv explains that in Bayi Sheni, even though they were such big Talmidei Chachamim, they all knew Shas, but anytime somebody had an opinion slightly different than them, they would be choshchei them as a tzuki, as an apikores, and they would be mevatel them. You only fit in one box. There's only one box. You're in my box, you're not in my box. And that's destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. V'zeh ha'yasheva ha'avos. They were the biggest ka'onim, the biggest ovei Hashem. They kept tarayag mitzvahs and more. Od ha'yu yishan, but they were yisharim. Haynu shesnagu umos ha'olam afilu ovei elilim mechuarim. They used to engage civilly, with respect with non-Jews, even the ovei avodah zarah, the vile ovei avodah zarah. Mikom akom hoyim meim ba'ava v'chashu b'tovasam b'asher yakim abriyat. They still looked after their welfare, they still cared for them as human beings. The capacity to judge others and relate to them differently starts with an open mind and humility. One can disagree forcefully with another person's opinion and respectfully, while at the same time not thinking that one's opponent is wholly evil. There may be such people, but they are rare. Chazal found only three kings and four hedyotos to have no chelek in Olam Haba. And even some of those were not uncomplicated in Chazal's eyes. See, for example, the treatment of Menashe in Perek Chela. Avraham Avinu was born into a pagan society. He would have, chas v'shalom, have remained such, were it not for his open mind. Avram's curiosity about the world, and later Moshe Rabbeinu's curiosity about the snare, is the character trait necessary for seeing the complexities of the world instead of just retreating into one's echo chamber and seeing there being only two boxes. Tzadikim gemurim don't exist in a world of multicolors. For their generation, God doesn't need a keshes as kivayachal, a reminder. But those generations and those individuals are exceedingly rare. The rest of us have to live in a world of complexity with complex and complicated human beings, including ourselves. And in the spirit of Halacha Bidracha, we ought to take a page out of the book of our Creator and remember, Es Kashki Nasati Be'anon. It is not a world made up of white light, but rather of many different colors. Inshallah.